I'd like to read you today from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 7. God's word says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Your thought for today is this: God wants relationship, not inquiries. God wants relationship, not inquiries. So the table is set here in these verses 1 through 3. As I said, leading up to this particular chapter, chapter 55, we go through a succession of statements about the servant, and they're called servant songs. And in these servant songs, you see them pointing to the one who is going to come and ultimately redeem the people of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, especially in Isaiah 53, where we just read from this day. You see how that points, even in the specific details of the crucifixion that is recorded for us in the Gospels. But there is also a time of, as I said, setting the table that happens in chapter 54, where God tells his people of what he has done for them and how now they are ready to come and participate in that which he has prepared. And so he has prepared that banquet of life in chapters 53 and 54, and now he wants them to come to eat. And I want you to see that there is an urgency in that call to come and eat. In Jesus' time, he told a parable, and he told about a rich man who had prepared an extensive feast, a large banquet, and he had invited people to come. But one by one, those important folks gave him some very flimsy excuses as to why they could not come and participate. And so, not to be outdone, the rich man told his servant to go out into the streets and open up this banquet for all who would come. Now, what Jesus was talking about there is that there were some who were invited to participate in this feast of life, but because they needed more proof, because they were hesitant for some reason, they did not see the value in this meal. They did not see the invitation for the value that it had. And so they gave some excuse as to why they would go somewhere else or to why they would not participate in it. But when the doors were open to those who were poor and hungry, they saw the value here, that this was an elaborate meal that had been prepared, and it was free. We're coming to eat. We're coming to participate. We want to partake of this meal. And so they saw that value, and they came with that desire because they had to hunger. They had to hunger for it. And so in doing this, Jesus is letting us know that there are those who he referred to as the poor in spirit in the Beatitudes. Now, the poor in spirit, a lot of times, we've said this before in here, a lot of times people get the wrong idea what it means to be poor in spirit. They think that it's people who have little money. But poor in spirit means those who see themselves as God sees them. They understand the need that they have to be forgiven of their sins. They understand the need that they have of coming to Him and participating in this table that He has set before us, where we feed on Christ in a spiritual manner. And so they understand that need that they have to be forgiven, and they are hungry for that forgiveness, and they want to come to Him, and they see Him for the Savior that He wants to be seen as. And so Jesus is saying that there are those who are hungry, and those who come in that poor spiritual state will inherit the kingdom of God. The haughty do not see the need of this offering, or they want further proof of it. They need to know something more. Is this the best thing for me? God's kingdom is described in the Old Testament and New Testament of being abundant in water, abundant feasts and various things like that to show how precious it is. When a land as arid as the one in which they lived, the water was a precious commodity. Great lengths were done to bring water in. I remember one city in the Roman world where they built this huge aqueduct to bring water into the city so that the city could have the water that it needed there. And so people who are starving, people who are in need, people who see the preciousness of something, they appreciate it when it is given to them. They appreciate the abundance of it. And that's what God is trying to get His people to see, you and me this day, to see the abundance of the blessings that He is offering to us by feeding upon Christ. He calls it in the scriptures that deer, that thirsty deer pants for water, to have that thirst satisfied there. The psalmist says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. I want to have relationship with you. I want to have my spiritual thirst satisfied by only your hand, because it is only your hand and the abundance of the blessings that you have to give to me that my spiritual thirst can be satisfied. But there's also a question here. There's a question here that you pick up on where it talks about, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? So there's a question here for all of us to assess what is really important in our lives. What is it that is really important in our lives? A very simple illustration, exaggerated illustration, would be like a man whose family was starving to go out and spend his hard-earned money on a recreation item. That's not the need for the family. Food is need for the family. It is not to be spent on something frivolous. It is to be spent on that which the family needs. And so God is asking His people here, why do you pursue that which won't ultimately satisfy? Why do you waste your time and effort pursuing that which is going to be freely given to you, that which is being offered to you, that which will lead into eternal life, which will save your very soul? As Jesus said, don't worry about those who can just kill your body, but be concerned and honor and glorify the one who can not only bring death to you, but also bring death to your soul. And that is the ultimate death. So Jesus, in this meal, God in His scriptures, wanting His people to understand the preciousness of this gift. It is life-giving. When these young people were being talked to about what they were getting ready to do, I talked to them about what it means to observe this meal. And one of the things I shared with them was, when you come to this meal, you have to come with the right mindset, because if you just come to this meal and you just eat a piece of bread and you knock back a little bit of juice and you leave, you're not going to get any benefit at all from this meal. But I told them to think about this meal in this way. You've gone swimming, something happens, and you're drowning. You've drowned. Your lungs have filled with water. You are no longer breathing, and you're sinking to the bottom of whatever body of water that you've been swimming in. And as you're sinking to the bottom there, someone dives in and they grab you and they pull you out and they take you to shore and they give you CPR. And all of the water that had filled your lungs and had caused life to drain from your body has now been taken out and now air comes in and you are revived and you are now alive. From that place where you had no hope to now where you have hope restored. I said, what if you see that person walking down the street later on, even 6 months, a year, several years later? How would you feel about that person that saved your life? That's how you come to this meal. That is how you get benefit of it. Because there would always be a relationship between you and that individual, whether you had known them before or not. There's always now going to be a relationship between you and that individual that saved you from drowning. And that relationship is going to be a bond of life-saving. It's going to be a bond that is strong because it was a very, very big deal that they did for you. And so when you come to this table, you come in that kind of mindset. If you don't come in that kind of mindset, then all you're going to do is eat a little bit of bread and drink a little bit of juice and go on about your business. Because this table is set for those who come in the proper state of mind, with the proper heart, understanding the price that was paid. What he's talking about here, come buy without money. And it's not a cheapened type of justice system that God has. There's nothing cheap about His grace. We cheapen it by how we abuse His grace, but there's nothing cheap about His grace. It was paid for by a very high price. Jesus could say your sins have been forgiven because He was going to take that person's sins upon Himself. He could forgive sins because they were going to become His sin. He could forgive sins because He was the one that was going to be judged by God. The wrath of God's judgment was going to fall upon Him that day upon the cross. And He was going to take the sins of God's people upon Himself. That guilt, the stricken, the grief, all of that, that we just read in our reading fell upon Him. And He took it upon Himself. That's what bought our grace that we enjoy now. That's what bought grace that you and I enjoy now for free. The grace that is heaped upon us, the table and the bounty of it that has been set before us. By what Christ has done on the cross, God is saying His people, now come everyone, come and eat. If you have no money, come, you can get this food. It is for you. And then He says, incline your ear. Listen to what I am saying. This table that is set is for you out of my love for you. And I want you to feed upon it. What do we feed upon now? We feed upon Christ, upon His Word. We take in His Word. We let it be applied to us by the Spirit of God that is within us. And in that application of that Word, in that application of that truth, that Word then becomes our strength and our sustenance. That Word then becomes our relationship with God as we take it in each day. As that grace falls fresh like the dew every morning. The grace that we need to sustain us through that day falls upon us by taking in the Word of God. By allowing that Word to change us from the inside out. By allowing that Word to teach us His truths and to teach us the type of people that He would have us to be. And that Word, John says, became flesh and walked among us as the ultimate example of humanity that ever walked upon the face of the earth. Where God and man came together. Always see that theme in Scripture. Man and God together. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, in the garden. The garden was not Eden. The garden was in Eden. The garden was the home of Adam and Eden, Eve, and God's dwelling place. God and man together. Sin brought a separation. When God brought His people out of Egypt, one of the first tasks He gave them was to build a tabernacle. So that God's dwelling place now could be with His people. Later on, he built the temple so that God's dwelling place could be with his people. Christ came so that God and man dwell together in the ultimate combination. The Spirit now comes after Christ's ascension. The Spirit of God dwells within the hearts of his people, God and man together. In Revelation, where the banquet table comes down and God calls his people to come and enjoy the wedding feast of the Lamb, God and man together for all eternity. This table joins you with your Savior in a very special way. What the Savior has done for you, what sin has separated, Christ brings together. And what you receive this day, you are receiving the benefit of his Spirit. You are receiving the benefit of what he has accomplished on the cross. And you are being brought together with God in a very special way this day as you receive and take in these elements in faith and appreciation for the person that saved your life, that gave you hope, and in the end is your hope. But this invitation is not just for the lost. As I said, God wants relationship, not just inquiries. There are those who like to keep God at arm's length, and they come to him when they need him, when they come to him when they want something, and then they go on about their merry way. But that is not who God wants us to be. He wants relationship with his people. He wants relationship. Not just coming and asking, but being together. All through Scripture is that theme. God and man together. Relationship. Not God being approached by man periodically, but God and man being together. Seeking, he says, for their relationship. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Because it also indicates that there will come a time when this opportunity will be gone. As long as the door of the ark was open, even though God had revealed it to a few people, even though it only Noah would take advantage of it, but as long as the door of that ark was open, whoever walked in was going to be in God's rescue. And so there was an open invitation. But when God closed the door, the invitation was taken away. And all who were without perished. But those who were in were spared. And when Scripture talks about being in Christ, there's an invitation now. For those of you who have Christ in your life, there's an invitation to come and feed upon him and be gloriously held in him, as secure as those individuals were who were securely in the ark. While that was going on, and it wasn't like the waters just filled up like a bathtub and the ark just peacefully floated up and the little animal's heads were sticking out on the ark like you see the little toy. There was cataclysmic destruction and upheaval. And that ark was rocked. I wasn't there, but I guarantee you that ark was rocked. But all who were inside that ark were held safe, even though they were probably scared and terrified of what they felt going on outside. And that's who we are in Christ. The world can terrify us. The world has a lot of rocking going on in our lives right now. But in Christ, we are held. And even though we might feel the world knocking and rocking and jostling us, we are held in him. And he said, those who I have, there's nothing that can take them out of my hand. Nothing. Nothing the world can do can take you out of his hand. That's a promise to you. A promise that is sealed by what we're getting ready to do here. When we take in the benefits of what Christ has won for us. This is a meal for you, child of God, to come and to experience the blessings of Christ and to come in the spirit of this man saved my life. And I'm going to pursue a relationship with him.
because it's that important.
God wants relationship, not inquiries. Our forgiveness, though free, as I said, came to us as a great price. It cost Jesus His life. It cost God His Son. He has taken our stripes. He's borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. And now He has set the table of salvation for His people. He's flung open the doors of His kingdom. And He welcomes all who hear His call to feast upon Him. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before You this day thanking You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your wisdom. Thanking You that You have prepared the table for Your people. Thanking You that we are preparing now to participate in the table in a spiritual way that You have set for us. And so, Father, we look forward to that time where we can be gathered together with You around the wedding feast of the Lamb. And so, Father, we pray that You will continue to prepare us to receive this meal this day for Your glory and honor in Christ. Amen.